If you want to turn over to Colossians chapter 2, all the last couple weeks we've been looking at all the things that Jesus has done for us. We saw 2 weeks ago that Jesus bore our sin. He carried away our sickness, our disease, our depression, our weaknesses, our poverty. Aren't you glad that he bore it all? He bore it all the ills of humanity. Jesus took it, and he carried it to the grave, and he rose again victorious. Amen. We saw what really happened at the crucifixion, that Jesus didn't just suffer physically, he suffered spiritually. He was forsaken by his Father God for our sakes. Amen. Jesus became and is the great substitute. And then last week we took a look at, while Jesus was on the cross, we saw that the veil that was in the temple was torn in half. And God was telling us that, you know, when that veil tore, that temple in Jerusalem was, for all practical purposes, it's worthless. It's useless. That the presence of God would no longer dwell in the building made with human hands, but that he was moving out of the Old Testament temple and he was moving into the New Testament temple, which the Bible says is our bodies, our spirit, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we are now, the Bible says, we are the temple. Yes. Glory to God. The Bible says we are the priesthood. Yes. We are the ones that bring and offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Yes. It's not about the music, folks.
That's right.
It's about the fact that your heart is turned to God and that you're just praising him and worshiping and you're taking your place as a priest and king before God.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says over there in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, Jesus, who has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He made us kings and priests. And now the truth that we're going to be looking at here today, it's the drawing board for Christianity. It is that line that so many Christians, they fail to step over. They fail to believe and realize who they are on this earth. Revelation 1:5, in that same passage, it calls you, believers, kings of the earth. When Jesus is the King of kings, he's the king over the kings of the earth. Now, we think that that's political figures and politicians, but it's not. It's talking about the kings of the earth, which are the believers, the children of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's such good news that we get a hold of this and not just hear it, but to think it and to speak it. Because I'll tell you what, if you think defeat, you're going to live defeat. If you think like a slave, you're going to live like a slave. You're not a slave. You're a king and a priest. And the veil was torn, and the priesthood was changed, and we became kings. And the Bible says over there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned, it says, how much more they that receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, how much more shall they reign in life by one, Jesus Christ? That's the picture of the Bible gives us, to reign in this life. It doesn't mean you'll never go through trials. It doesn't mean you'll never have hard times. It's talking about reigning and ruling over those trials, overcoming those things.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. I like how the Amplified says that verse. Reign in life as kings.
Yes.
The Bible says in the Phillips translation in Romans 5:17, it says, live all of our lives like kings.
Yes.
Now that means what? That we're not afraid, that we're in authority, that we understand that Jesus has given us all authority over anything that would try to hurt us in this life. Amen. Over any sin, over any sickness, any disease, depression, weakness. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Today we're going to talk about this. We're going to call this message, deliverance is a 100% settled fact. A 100% settled fact. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there today. They believe, well, I'm a Christian, but I still need to get delivered of something. I needed to get delivered of demons. I need to get delivered of this or that. I got to get delivered of my problems. Well, no, see, the fact of the matter is, if you keep thinking that way, you won't be delivered of anything. Because you need to come to the realization that deliverance is already done. And there's believers out there, and they're trying to operate deliverance ministries, and they're trying to operate deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. They're trying to do what God has already done. Now, does that mean there's not a true deliverance ministry as talked about by the New Testament? There is a true deliverance ministry. There is a ministry in the Bible of ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit to set people free from demonic activity, from depression, oppression, all these things, sickness and disease. There is a freedom, there's a liberty, but we have to understand, as believers, we already are delivered.
Yes, that's right.
And those things of going out and delivering the world, those things, you know, weren't meant that we just practice them on each other. That power to deliver people from the power of darkness was something that we were to take to a lost and hurting world and not just sit around and play church and practice on each other. Amen. Because every believer needs to get it locked in their mind, I am delivered. God isn't going to do anything more for you than He's already done. He can't give you anything more than what He's given you. He can't dig into His pocket and find anything more valuable than Jesus. Now let's get into this. Colossians 2:13. Amen. Now I am not saying that there's no such thing as casting out devils and things like that, but we need to understand who those things were for. Those things were for the Great Commission. And Christians are trying to run around, cast out demons out of Christians. How many demons have you ever seen in the New Testament cast out of a Christian? None. It doesn't exist in the New Testament, right? How many instructions did Paul ever give to the church to cast out demons out of believers? None. But Jesus did say to go to the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Right? Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Yes. Believers will cast out demons.
Yeah, that's right.
In my name they will speak with new tongues. Yes. In my name if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover.
Yes,
and it goes on to say, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following.
Amen.
We're the ones that are supposed to bring the word to the world.
Yes.
And then those signs of deliverance were supposed to follow the word preached to the lost and hurting world.
That's right. Amen.
You can't get a Christian more free than they already are.
That's right.
If they're a believer, they are redeemed, and that's why some of those things won't work on a believer. You're going to try to get a believer delivered. I'm trying to get so-and-so delivered, 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 and it's not working because they need to realize they already are delivered.
That's right. That's right.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 13. Let me show you this. And if you were here Wednesday night, this might sound similar to Wednesday night's message, but how many of you know we need to hear it again?
Yeah.
It says, in you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That means God was saying here, the Lord is trying to tell us, he's like, you who were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's telling us that we were sinners and Gentiles.
Yeah, yeah.
The uncircumcision of our flesh is talking about our birth outside of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
So he tells us that before Christ, we were Gentiles and we were sinner Gentiles. Well, okay. Sounds like we need some help there. And he goes this, but here's the good news. The good news is the rest of the verse. He says, you that were sinners and Gentiles, God has quickened you together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Yes. Glory to God.
Amen.
Right.
Just think of the goodness of God, what He did.
Yeah.
You had no access to God.
Right.
You had no claim to Him. The Bible says as a sinner and as a Gentile, you had no claim to Him. You had no rights to God. You had no approach to God. You had no access to God. And God said, even when you had no approach, you had no access. You were a sinner and a Gentile. He said, He made you alive together with Christ. Boy, isn't that good of God?
Yeah.
Now let's look at what he did. This is how he did that. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You say, what is he talking about there? Let me tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about the Old Testament ordinances, the Old Testament law that just made you aware that you were a sinner and disobedient to God, that literally every time you broke one of the commandments, you were committing a crime against God. And when you commit a crime against God, a warrant is issued for your arrest. That's what he's talking about here. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. The Amplified Bible says the bond.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what happens? A criminal, or someone who commits a crime, they get arrested and they get out on bond, okay? And they have a little bit of liberty to do what they need to do, but there's a bond over them, meaning that they are not their own.
Right.
They are eventually owned, for that time being, to the prison system, to the legal system.
Yes.
Because there's a bond or a warrant for them, right?
Yeah.
That they aren't free forever.
Yeah.
It's just a temporary release until things are reconciled in court and so on. There's a bond.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the Bible describes what happened to us when we were Gentile sinners.
Yeah, that's right.
Every time we committed a lie, the Bible condemned us and sent a warrant out. Literally, the Bible says that there was a warrant written against us. Every time mankind would lie and cheat and commit adultery and steal and blaspheme God and do all these sinful things, the Bible says there was a warrant for our arrest. And what Jesus did is Jesus showed up and he blotted out the warrant that was set against us. All those things that were written against us. Do you realize that? In the court of heaven, if you stand before the court, and if you've told one lie in your life under the Old Testament law, you would be guilty of being forever a liar. You would be sentenced to judgment based on being a liar. Or if you ever stolen anything, you'd be judged as a thief. And so the Old Testament just let us know how big criminals we were before God. And we were in dire trouble. We had thousands and countless warrants written against us that we could never stand up to God's righteousness. We could never make ourselves right before God. And Jesus showed up. And he says, give me those warrants.
Yes.
I'll blot them out.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I will take them out of the way.
Yes.
And I'm going to nail them to the cross. Glory to God. How much more free can you get than that? Imagine Noah was on that cross. Your past was on that cross. Every mistake you made was on that cross, and maybe some mistakes that you might still make. Not that we're making room for failure, you understand. But they were on that cross. They were nailed to it, destroyed upon it. Glory to God. That's what God saw upon that cross. He saw every awful thing we ever did and said. And he said three things that he did to that warrant. He blotted it out. Literally, that word blotting out means to remove the ink. He erased it. And then not only did he erase it, but he took it out of the way. Meaning that once, why did it have to be taken out of the way? Because that warrant and all of our sins stood between us and God. We had no approach, no access. So Jesus said, I'm going to push that out of the way so you can now walk on in and now be free to be in the presence of God. So he erased it, kicked it out of the way so you could get through the door. Glory to God. And then he nailed it to the cross, meaning he was crucifying it or killing it forever. That's what's been done to your past. That's what's been done to your sins. Praise God. But here, the next verse is what so often is overlooked. What did Jesus do during those 3 days? Because you understand, there was 3 days after he was put in that grave. Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of God must be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. So 3 days and three nights Jesus spent there, and we think of the 3 days, and we forget that there was something going on during those 3 days, something that Jesus did. Well, I'm not going to go into a big teaching on it right now, but the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, right around the 31st verse, you can look this up later, it tells us that Jesus descended into hell, or Hades, or Sheol, the place of the dead. All right? Literally, he did. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9 says that who is he that ascended but also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. Peter says over there, he says, and Jesus preached to the spirits who were in prison. That Jesus actually descended into the place of the dead and he did something while he was there. And verse 15 now is going to be talking about what Jesus did when he descended on behalf of you and me.
Yes. Come on.
Verse 15 says this, Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers. The word principalities and powers, you could call it devils and demons.
Yes.
Or the authority of demonic or satanic control. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. I want to read you some other translations here of this verse to give you an idea. The Bible is talking about here that Jesus descended into the place of Hades or the dead Sheol and dealt with demonic forces down there. Literally, Jesus didn't just pay our debt here naturally. Sin isn't a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus died physically and he died spiritually to pay for the price of all those that would be spiritually dead so he could make us spiritually alive.
Amen. That's right.
And the Bible says that he got down there, and literally in the Greek, this verse starts talking about Jesus' combat with demonic forces. It literally says that Jesus had all the demons you can imagine pile up on him in that awful place. And for 3 days, he suffered the torture and the torment that belonged to every lost human being. Yeah. Now let me read you some other literal Greek renderings of this verse. The Coney Bear translation says this, he, Jesus, disarmed the principalities and powers which fought against him. That there's literally a combat down there, that Jesus descended and entered into spiritual combat with the forces, satanic forces, and he fought against them. The Phillips translation says, Jesus exposed them, shattered them, emptied them, defeated them in his final glorious triumphant act. Glory to God. What was Jesus doing down there? He was down there destroying any rightful claim, the devil or demonic forces or anything that was evil, any rightful claim that those forces would ever have on humanity.
Yes. Glory to God.
Do you realize that?
Yes.
When you sin, right? When we were sinners, we were the property of who? The captain of sin.
Yes, that's right.
Satan. Right? Jesus told us that over in John 8:44. He said, you are of your father's a devil. For he was a liar from the beginning. And what your father does, you do. Right?
Yes.
He tells us that the world without Christ belongs to the enemy.
Yes.
Because when the world sins against God and commits crime against God, they are committing high treason against God. And they are basically signing up to the devil's ownership.
You're right.
That's what sin is. Sin is disobedience to God and obedience to evil, which is basically putting us under the ownership or the rightful claim. Sin is what gives Satan permission to move in our life, right? It's just real simple. Disobey God gives an opportunity for Satan to move in your life. It's just real simple. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus did. He went down there. He disarmed them. He destroyed them. He emptied them of all authority having a rightful claim on our lives.
That's right.
He destroyed the warrant on the cross
yes.
and then went down and handled the ones that issued or owned the warrants.
Good. That's good. Yes.
Aren't you
yes.
glad?
Yes.
He said, all right, the warrants are destroyed and now I'm going to go handle the ones down here.
Glory to God.
And it says literally these demonic forces fought against him. Another translation, I love it. It says, Jesus hurled back principalities and powers. He literally that gives us a picture that they all piled on him in 3 days. All of a sudden, the power of the Spirit just came on him down there in that awful place, and he just threw them all back. And it says he made an open show of them, and I'm not trying to get into theology, but the Bible does tell us that he led them on a victory parade down there. That he marched them in front of all the Old Testament saints that were in Abraham's bosom. He marched them all in front of, just like a conquered king would be dealt with back in those days. And he stood there in front of that whole place. He said, I've disarmed all of them. For all the sins that were committed in the Old Testament and all the sins that will be committed in the future, I have disarmed the devil's rightful claim upon humanity. And those that will call upon his name those that will call upon the name of Jesus would be delivered from the power of darkness, would be translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Go to Hebrews chapter 2. This is what believers need to get a hold of. We've gotten it wrong. I'm just telling you, a lot of the body of Christ is out trying to get free from what God already made them free from. Now, is there a true Bible deliverance in terms of the ministering of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. And if you come this Wednesday night to church, I'll teach you all about it.
Amen.
And it may be different than what you've been told. But I'm not here to tell you my opinion. I'll just show you verse by 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 verse. Hebrews chapter 2, let's go to verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children," talking about the children of God. Do we have any children of God here today? "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood." Well, wouldn't you say that's true today? Did you bring your flesh and blood with you? Pretty sure you did. It says, "He also," Jesus, speaking of Jesus, "himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus became flesh and blood. "That through the death of his body, he would destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Literally, when Jesus left his body there on the cross, he didn't go to heaven. The Bible doesn't say he went to heaven.
That's
he
right.
didn't ascend for several days later.
That's right.
The Bible says that he descended and dealt with and disarmed the principalities and power. That's what he's talking about. After he partook of death, he went down there and destroyed death, destroyed him who had the warrant of death. Aren't you glad? He destroyed spiritual death. Now, you understand that there's going to come a day when you, if Jesus tarries, that you live nice and long on this earth, your body will die. But the Bible says we're not to be afraid of that death. And we're not to be afraid of spiritual death, because Jesus took the sting out of natural death and he destroyed spiritual death.
Yes.
For those that believe and call upon his name. Let's make that clear, because this isn't automatic for everybody. They must believe. Amen. Now look at verse 15. I like this verse. It says, "And deliver them." So when he destroyed him who had the power of death, he delivered them through fear of death, were all the lifetime subject to bondage. I have been delivered. You have been delivered from everything that would make you a slave to bondage or slave to fear.
Glory to God. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Now notice how bondage, what made slaves of these people? Who? Through fear. Fear made them slaves. Fear made them slaves. Fear will keep you a slave. Fear will cause you to live like a slave.
That's right.
Some of you are slaves to things. You will become slave to what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
So many people, they're so afraid of circumstances, so afraid of the report, so afraid of things in life. They say what, like Job said in Job 3:25, he said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." What you greatly fear will come upon you. We don't understand, but it works kind of backwards there. If we're getting delivered from fear, we're delivered from everything that is derived from demonic slavery.
That's right, yes.
We're delivered from it all. Every form of bondage.
That's right.
I'm not held in the bondage to sin. I don't have to sin anymore.
That's right, that's right.
I did before. My old nature, before I was born again, was a nature of a sinner. That's all I did. That's all I thought about. That's all you did. That's all you thought about. I don't care how moral you thought you were.
Right. That's right.
If you weren't despicable indeed, well, you were despicable in thought, and that is just as good as far as God is concerned. Right? He delivered us. He delivered us through the fear of death. I'm not subject to fear. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be a slavery of sin. I don't got to be a slavery of depression. I'm not enslaved to anxiety. I'm not enslaved to poverty. I'm not enslaved to weakness. I'm not slaved to anything. Glory to God. You're delivered from fear. He destroyed fear. He went down there and he disarmed fear. Glory to God. Now go with me. Let's take a look at this. Let's start taking a walk through the Bible like we did Wednesday night. Go back to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Some of you are waiting to get free when God said you already are. You're delivered from bondage. You're delivered from fear. You're delivered from principalities and powers. People, I heard a story. It really made me chuckle, but it really shouldn't, because really it's pretty sad that someone would believe this. I heard the story of a Pentecostal preacher, and someone approached this Pentecostal preacher, true story, and said, "How you doing today, preacher?" He said, "Good, I've already cast 17 demons out of myself." Well, first of all, if you got 17 demons in you, you have no business being a preacher. But this, it just represents the bad thinking and bad teaching. Christianity all over the place. Christians running to Christians and casting devils out of Christians. Give me one example in the New Testament of when anyone ever did that or instructed to do that. Christians are required to come to a knowledge and renew their mind and say, "I am delivered. I'm not under the authority of Satan. There's no demon. I'm seated far above all principality, power, and might. He destroyed him who had the power of death. He canceled out the ordinances that were written against me. He took it out of the way. He blotted it out. He nailed it to the cross. I'm not subject to that dominion anymore." And Christians aren't doing that. And I'm going to show you this verse that tells you what you're supposed to do with all this stuff I'm preaching. You don't just sit here and shout and praise God and get entertained and all this, and then you walk out and don't do anything about it. Here's what you're supposed to do right here. Verse 2. Psalm 107, verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord run to each other and cast out demons out of each other and try to get free." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. You can't get any more free than you are right now. You can't. You can only say so with a greater persistence.
Yes.
The problem isn't in the deliverance. You are delivered. The problem was you didn't say so. Redemption. Like I said this in our Sunday school, along this line, I use this illustration, it'll fit here. Redemption isn't bouncing around the roulette wheel and you hope that it lands on your color or your number. It's not bouncing around randomly. Redemption was given to you on purpose. And you are supposed to give voice to your redemption. Redemption lies dormant until you give it voice. The Bible says you're supposed to say, "I am redeemed. I am redeemed from my sin. I am redeemed from my past. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. I am redeemed from poverty and hurt and negative emotions and depression and anxiety and weakness." You were redeemed. You are supposed to believe that. And you're supposed to say it. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I say it all the time. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I get a thought of fear. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. The Hebrew word redeemed there, it's the Hebrew word for deliver. Let the delivered of the Lord say so. There's your action here. There's your homework right there. Let the delivered of the Lord. "Well, Pastor Tim, but you don't get it. I have stuff. There's symptoms, whether depression, mental anxiety, physical problems, fear in my mind, whatever it is, I still have the thoughts and the feelings of that." Who cares? Since when did circumstances matter to you? Since when did circumstances matter to God? Well, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm in a financial crisis and all that. God didn't ask you to look at the circumstances and to be so overwhelmed by them. He didn't ask you to put so much respect on circumstances. He expected you to look at those trials and say, "I'm redeemed."
That's right, that's right.
He didn't say that you would never be trialed. Jesus said over there in John 16:33, he said, "These things I write unto you, that in me you should have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." Notice Jesus said, you're supposed to have peace through the trial.
Yes.
And if you don't have peace through the trial, somewhere you've gotten defeated. Because peace through the trial equals victory. I can't stop troubles from trying to come on me. But I can stop the fear. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I've used this illustration about the lion not having teeth and not having claws. And, you know, you could use the same thing. You know, there's these, I forget what kind of Japanese, some kind of Asian bumblebee that's now moving in this area. I actually saw one. Those things are like 4 or 5 inches long. Have you seen those things yet? Huge. And you look at them, and man, they can sting bad. You know, my dad had some over at his house, and he captured one in a jar. And I saw this thing. I'm like, whoa, I never knew that bees were like that or could be that way. I mean, this thing looked like it was armored. It looked like an Apache helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, this thing was just big, big and bad. You know, and everyone talks about it, sting, it sting, it sting. Well, what if that thing had no sting? It would just be a butterfly.
Yeah.
It would be just fun to look at. But people look at it and they give it respect because of the hurt that it can bring. Do you realize circumstances might be there, but Jesus disarmed the hurt? He disarmed the hurt of it. He disarmed the hurt of it. I don't have to give such respect to circumstances. I give respect to what Jesus did. Circumstances are going to come. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Go over there. Oh, let's go over to verse 17. And it says this, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Wow. Well, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward. He says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord saveth them out of their distresses. How did he do it? Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word of God is the primary and preferred tool for all deliverance. You're trying to get free? When we speak of deliverance, we mean of people's desire to be free from anything demonic, anything hurtful, anything troublesome. You understand? We can't get free without the word.
Yeah.
The word is the first and foremost, the most primary and preferred tool that God has for deliverance.
Amen.
People say, what do you mean, even over the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Yes, even over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Say, what do you mean? Well, let me just ask you this. Are there manifestations of the Spirit for deliverance? Absolutely. For healing and casting out devils and things? Absolutely. Don't belittle that in any way. Can a gift of the Spirit get you healed? Absolutely. Can it get you delivered from demonic attack and things? Absolutely. But can it keep you that way? No. God tells us in his word that he expects us to go to his word, to stay in his word. The word is the only thing that gets you healed and keeps you healed. It's the only thing that can get you peace and keep you in peace. Someone could lay hands on you until all the hair of your head is worn right off. You know what I mean? Some of you are smiling at me. Coach Leroy, that's not funny. But someone could lay hands on you a trillion times. Let's say it that way. Because I noticed all of our bald guys start smirking at me. Someone could lay hands on you 1,000 times. You can't stay delivered that way. It takes the word. He sent his word. Now let me just ask you this. Has God sent his word to us?
Yes.
He sent his word. Right in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. Right?
Yes.
John chapter 1 verse 1, then drop down to verse 14. Jesus is the word that became flesh. We are delivered. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us.
Amen.
I love how it's past tense. This is what you must get a hold of here today. Deliverance is a past tense fact.
Yes.
It is the word of God, and it's forever settled in heaven. God's not going to do anything more to get you delivered.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
And even if you come forward in a healing line and you do have hands laid on you, it's still going to require your faith in the word. It's all going to be based on the word. Amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Go with me to John chapter 8. Aren't you glad for the deliverance? Jesus exposed principalities. He shattered them. He emptied them. He defeated them. It ain't going to get any better.
That's right. That's right.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
Say, well, I'm a believer, but I just think this is radical. Well, you'll be a believer and you'll be a defeated believer. Because you failed to say so. God puts it on your side now. He says, all right, you're redeemed. Say so.
Yeah,
all right, you're healed. Say so. You're saved. Say so.
Yeah.
Say so.
Good.
Praise God. Go over there. Actually, you know what? I kind of left that Psalm 107 there a little quickly. Go to John chapter 8, and we're going to go over there to verse 31. But before we do, can we go back there to Psalm 107? And you're in verse 20. It says, he sent his word, healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Look at verse 21. It says this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What are the wonderful works to the children of men he's talking about? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Praise is how you keep the flow of faith turned on. Praise is how you keep that deliverance active and alive among you. You have to keep that flow of faith on. You're going to have to drive down the road. Praise God, yeah. Praise God. I am the redeemed. Oh, there's layoffs coming. I'm redeemed. Oh, there's a oogie boogie flu that's going around, and it's a H1N1ZX254325 flu, you know. The West Nile flu, the Chewbacca flu, all this stuff. You know, the R2-D2 flu, C-3PO flu, all the Star Wars character flu. And you hear about all these flus and diseases. I'm redeemed. David said, 10,000 may fall at your side, 1,000 at your right hand. I got that backwards, but you understand?
Yes.
He said, but it will not come near you.
That's right. That's
just because the Bible says you are to believe you are redeemed.
Yes. Good.
You are redeemed. He didn't ask you to look around and see how everyone else is faring.
Yeah, come on.
I don't look at what's going on in your life to decide that I'm redeemed. You know, people go through trials. Doesn't mean they're not redeemed. I've faced trials. I face trials all the time. What do I say? I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
And the praise coming out of my mouth is how I keep in that flow of faith. You know, it was really interesting this morning. I was on the way down here to church for Sunday school. My son Timothy was riding in the back seat. And usually on Sunday mornings, he's just talking my ear off. You know, he just talk. He's 3.5 years old, and he's just talking. I'm trying to pray. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually it's, Daddy, why is that tree like that? Daddy, what's that thing? What's this? Daddy. And it's fun, you know. And today I just noticed he was silent. I said, Timothy, you want to praise God with me on the way to church? And I get no response. Timothy. You want to praise God? You know, get no response. Timothy, and finally I see him back there, and all of a sudden I hear him say, I don't want to. I'm grumpy. I said, Timothy, you know what's going to make you feel better? When you just say, praise God. I said, well, say it with me. I just start saying, praise God. And first time, nothing. Second time, nothing. Third time. And then the fourth time, all of a sudden I heard him in the back seat go, praise God. I said, oh, that's good, Timothy. That make you feel better? He said, yeah. I said, say it again. He said, praise God. Praise God. And then we pulled into church, and he was going, praise God. And all of a sudden he says, Daddy, I feel so happy. Well, isn't that what is it, Isaiah 61 and verse 3? What does it say? It says, The spirit of heaviness put on the garment of praise. Because, well, I don't feel like praising God. Well, who cares what you feel like? Keep the flow turned on. Oh, that people would praise God for his deliverance. Oh, that they would thank him for his wonderful works. Oh, that they would declare that they already are redeemed. They are delivered. I'll tell you what, the greatest captivity is the wrong mentality. People are captive because they're captive in their minds. Their mind goes unrenewed to the fact that it's already done. And I'll tell you what, when you start saying so, I'll tell you what, for one, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to feel that thing just lift. I mean, there's times when I get ready, whether I'm coming to the pulpit for a church service or I'm just going out. I mean, there's just times, You know what I'm talking about? Stuff like a wet blanket, like a big, dark, wet blanket just gets thrown on you. And all of a sudden, discouragement or depression starts to try to creep in. But when I sense that going on, that's not my time to clam up and get in my shell. No, I start saying, praise God, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Now, you're over there in John chapter 8. Timothy learned that 3.5 years old this morning. He just, all of a sudden, I heard him just say, praise God. Almost kind of grudgingly, like, okay, Dad. I'm like, how'd that make you feel? He's like, well, a little better. Say it again. Right? And he just got louder and louder with every time.
Yeah.
I wondered if some of our parking lot attendants thought I was talking to myself, which I do.
Yeah. Sure, sure, sure.
The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, everyone say, my word.
My word.
That's the word of the Lord, not Tim Stallman's word, Jesus' word. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You're not a disciple because you believe. You are a disciple because you pursue the word.
Good.
That's what makes you a disciple. And now Jesus says something about his word here. He says, and you shall know the truth, right? His word is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
What makes you free? The truth. Truth makes you free.
Yes.
There's no greater freedom than that which the truth of God's word brings to you.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. How are disciples supposed to remain free? Continue in his word. This is what God said about how Christians live in deliverance. They don't gain the Dexatrim mentality. Give me my diet pill in a can. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to meditate in the Word. I'm not going to say so. I'm just going to go find some preacher to lay hands on me and pray over me and try to fix it. No, I can't lay hands on you and fix it. You know what I mean? Without you taking your responsibility, because disciples are supposed to know the truth, and the truth will make disciples free.
That's right.
Amen. Now drop down there to verse 36. Look what Jesus says. Now look at the verse that we have so forgotten as Christians. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. How do you get more delivered than free indeed? How do you get more delivered? Christians are out there. I'm a believer, but I need to get free. Jesus said, no, you need to get renewed in your mind.
Yes, that's right.
You need to know that you are redeemed. You are free. Yes. And the Bible says you shall be free indeed. That word indeed means of certainty and of reality.
Yes.
Jesus is saying there's no greater freedom than being free in the Son of God.
Right.
Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Are you born again? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Then you're free indeed. And now your redemption needs a voice. Your redemption needs you to say so. I'm free from this. I'm free from it. I'm free from discouragement. I'm free from it. Even if I don't feel like it, the Word of God still says it's so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to skip some verses. There's a lot more that I had planned, but for the sake of time, go over to the book of 1 John. Actually, why don't you stop in Colossians again on your way through there? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. You getting some help here?
Yes.
And now, is this to say that we're not to lay hands on the sick? Of course we are. But as believers who are maturing in the Word, we are to understand that we should stay in the Word and it will keep us free. Deliverance is 100% settled fact. And we're to think that way, we're to talk that way. And we're to take that deliverance to a lost world and let those signs speak of the Word and confirm the Word with signs following. Look at this. Why don't we start in verse 11? Go to Colossians 1. Actually, go to verse 10. Let's just read a few verses here, because I think this is good. It says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Colossians 1:10. Now, do you believe with that statement, we're to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, to please Him in all things? Some of you right there, your problems would be solved if you just do that. Walk worthy of the Lord and please Him in everything you do. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, right? Increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Now, what's the result? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Okay? So when you increase in the knowledge of God, you'll be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, or that word long-suffering just means endurance or perseverance. Patience and endurance with joyfulness. How is it that joyfulness acts? Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is the inheritance of the saints in light? Look at verse 13. Speaking of God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Yes, that's right.
Is that present tense or past tense?
Past tense.
Past tense.
That's right, that's
he
right.
has delivered us
yeah. yes, yes.
from the power of darkness.
Amen.
Is sin the power of darkness?
Yes.
Is sickness the power of darkness?
Yes.
Is depression the power of darkness? Is weakness the power of darkness? Is depression, anxiety, poverty, is it a power of darkness? Yes, it is. You are already delivered.
Yes. Amen.
And it would be, you would walk in so much more great freedom if you would say so.
That's right.
Amen. Instead of looking for the easy way out. 99.9% of Christians do not have demons in them. They have a problem with the flesh and with the mind. You understand? 99% of Christians have no demons possessing them or anything like that. They have gone unrenewed in their mind.
Good word.
They have gone unrenewed in their mind. Absolutely. The greatest thing you can do for any believer to keep them free is to teach them their deliverance is a settled fact. It's a settled fact. I can't cast your flesh problem out of you.
No, you're right.
I need the demon cast out of me so I stop acting this way, so I stop acting this way, so I stop acting this way. Just lay hands on me and cast it out of me. No, the only way for you to stop acting that way is to stop acting that way. I can't cast your flesh problem out of you. People say, no, I have a demon of an adulterous spirit. The Bible never says there's any such thing as an adulterous spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says adultery is a sin of the flesh. I can't lay hands on you and cast out adulterous thoughts out of you. You are going to have to cast down that imagination yourself. You're going to have to use your authority. And you're going to say, no, 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 I'm going to redeem from that.
Yes, that's right. Good.
That's not what Christ purchased me for.
That's right, that's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. This is how you stay helped. This is how you get free.
That's right.
Now, what about people in the world that don't know Jesus? Yeah, there's a lot of them that have plenty of devils and demons. Cast them out all day long. You know, get them free. Tell them how. And people say, well, how do I get the devil out of them? Well, get them saved.
Yeah.
Get them saved. Lead them to repentance in Jesus Christ. Get them delivered out of the power of darkness. Now, if a demon raised his head, well, then deal with it. Tell them to go. But so many people, they get so demon conscious. They're so thinking that so many Christians are filled with demons. Now, I'll tell you this. A lot of Christians are yielding to wrong spirits. They're yielding to those thoughts, but that doesn't mean they're possessed. They're yielding. If they're saved, they are delivered. God sees them delivered. He's not going to change His mind just because the body of Christ has a lot of bad teaching in it.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Now, I told you to go to 1 John. It will end here. We're running a couple minutes over, but what's new? Praise God. 1 John chapter 4. Let's read the first four verses. Just so you know, you are delivered from demons now.
Yeah.
He's like, I might get a demon. Christians all walking around thinking every demon in town's jumping all over them. No. Stop thinking that demons are jumping all over you. Why are they? Because I'm going to read you a verse in a moment that says if they're jumping on you, it's your fault.
Yeah.
If they are, it's because of you, not because of them.
Yeah.
1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Of course, these false prophets would be motivated, directed by demon spirits and yielding to demon spirits. He says, Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Here's how you know the Spirit of God and not the spirit of the devil. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come, and even now is already in the world. Now, do you think the spirit of Antichrist is a demonic spirit?
Yeah,
I would say so. I think that's pretty easy. I mean, that's not spiritual rocket science right there. We can figure that out. But now look at verse 4, because verse 4 is talking to me and you. He says, You are of God. Just in case you're confused. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them.
Yes.
Who is them that he's talking about? The evil spirits. False prophets that are motivated by demonic things. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. You have. Already done. You have.
Right.
Devils aren't just jumping on you.
That's right.
They're not just walking up to you, jumping on you, and getting into your life, and you got to go find someone to cast them out. That's a bunch of garbage. It's taught all over the place, and it's wrong. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. What would do someone more help? To sit there and say, well, you probably got a demon. Let's see if we can get the demon out of you. And people have all these deliverance sessions, deliverance questionnaires. Let's see, what did you do when you were a kid? Were you into drugs? Were you into pornography? Did you do all this wrong stuff? Did you drink? Did you have promiscuous relationships? Okay, well, you know what? A demon probably got into your life that way. Here they are reminding these people of the past that Jesus nailed to the cross. Wouldn't it be better to tell that person, hey, I got good news for you. Every warrant for your sin and the crime that you committed against God, he blotted it out. He took it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. And if you call upon his name, you will be delivered from the power of darkness. And you'll be set free and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But people go in, they got these deliverance questionnaires, and they sit there and they pray for hours, and they have deliverance sessions, and one session, and two session, and three session. Well, I don't know, we just can't get this believer free.
Yeah,
well, because you're trying to do with prayer what the Word of God was meant to do.
That's right? Yes.
You can't go fishing with a rifle. I know some of you may have tried it before. And believe me, I've thought about it. But you can't do it. It doesn't work. You've got to use the right thing. You need to know. You'd be better to tell that person, guess what the Word says?
Yes.
The Word says you've already overcome them.
Yes.
You believe upon Jesus. You're born again. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You're delivered.
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, did I just tell you? Start saying so. Say it now. I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Get them to say, I'm redeemed. Now look at 1 John chapter 5. You're right there. We'll close with this verse, verse 18. Here's the verse I told you I was going to show you. If the devil's jumping on you, it's your fault. When I say that, I don't mean trials are your fault. I'm saying if you're one of those people that say, I got a demon, that's why I act this way. No, you don't act that way because you got a demon. Either one of two things are wrong. Either you're not saved or your mind is unrenewed. Verse 18. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God. Do we have anyone born of God here today? This verse is written to you. I love services like this where born again Christians are just getting a hold of who they are. Praise God. So many people are so devil conscious. I think very little about what the devil's up to today.
Yeah.
I'm up here.
Yes, that's right.
I'm up here. He's down there.
That's right.
He's a low life.
Yeah.
I'm walking the high life.
Yeah.
Not the Miller high life. That's really the low life. I walked that life before. There ain't no life in it. It's deception. It's a lie. Some of you do really good just to put away your drinking. Yep. Some of you are sipping and wondering why God ain't blessing you. Anyway, let's get off that. I know what it's like because I used to drink a lot as a young man and stuff like that. About took my life and ruined me and things. So believe me, I speak from experience. You need to get free from it.
Yeah.
The way you do that is to stay and continue in His Word. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free.
Yes, that's right.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm free from every addiction. I'm free from any form of bondage. Says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Well, that should be the case, right?
Yeah.
Means, literally, you could translate it this way. We know that whoever is born again does not live a lifestyle of sin. Now, if you've made a mistake as a Christian, it doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It says, but he that is begotten or born of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Demons just can't jump on you. Not if you're walking in the obedience of God, they can. He says that wicked one cannot touch you.
That's right.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
See, as I just walk and obey God. And the Bible says that we know in our conscience when we're fully obeying God. I'm fully obeying God. The devil can't, demons can't just walk up and jump on my life and come into my life uninvited. Now, if I start sinning, if I start getting into disobedience, then that would open a door for those things to come into my life. You understand? So many, why am I so concerned of somebody? He can't touch me. I know we got laughing about this on Wednesday night. Reminds us of the MC Hammer song back in the early 90s. You can't touch this. And yes, I even talked about how I had a slap bracelet.
Yeah, slap bracelet.
Hey, listen, I grew up in the 80s and the early 90s, all right? Slap bracelets, jams.
Jams.
You remember jams?
Yeah.
The long shorts, like shorts that were like a couple inches past the knee. They just look like really bad pants. What they started doing is that they had a surplus of youth shorts, and they started selling them to adults as jams. But anyway, let's get off memory lane here. But notice, God never said it was His job to guard your life. He guards your life when you guard your life.
Yes, that's right.
That word keepeth there, it's a Greek word for guard. He that's born of God guards himself. Guard yourself, wow, with the knowledge of knowing that you're already delivered.
Yes.
Are you delivered?
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are delivered from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death.
That's right.
Jesus disarmed principalities, powers, and might. He blotted out the ordinances that were written against you. He got them out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. It's done. It's a finished fact.
Amen.
But you have to believe it.
Yes.
You have to say it. You have to guard yourself. Say, that wicked one can't touch me. He is not gonna touch my kids. He can't touch my home. He can't touch my property. He can't touch my health. He can't. I know some of you are still thinking about MC Hammer. I hear giggles over here. You can't. You can tell that enemy. He is not permitted in my home, in my children, in my marriage. He's not permitted in my head, in my thoughts, in my body. He's not permitted.
Come on.
Because if you're born of God, you have overcome them. You have. Past tense. Do you get some help here today? You did, whether you agree with it or not. Because that's the word. Folks, I understand that sometimes, you know, people will misunderstand messages like this and they'll think, boy, that sure sounds arrogant. It's not arrogance. Believe me, this is who we are.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And if you won't allow your mind to believe who you are in Christ, then there's no help for you. I can't counsel you into a better life until you believe you're delivered.
That's right.
I can't. There's nothing no one can do for you until you say that I'm free indeed. Right?
That's right.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for this word. We thank you. We've been so helped.
Yeah.
We are delivered. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And we say so.
Yeah.
We're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. We're redeemed from weakness and depression and anxiety and poverty. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. We're redeemed.
Yes, Lord.
We're redeemed from letting bad thoughts stay in our head. We're redeemed from the spirit of fear. We're redeemed.
Yes.
We are delivered. We are set free. We are in a new kingdom. Glory to God. We're born of God. We sin not. We guard ourselves. That wicked one cannot touch us. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, you descended and you stripped. You absolutely disarmed. You shattered principalities and powers and all wickedness that was arrayed against us. You removed the claim that evil had upon our lives. You gave us an approach to God. You gave us access to the throne of grace. You've given us this new life that's filled with power and belief and faith. And to speak this word that says we are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. We don't have to go back into our past and question what we were then. Our past doesn't make us who we are now. The blood of Jesus makes us who we are now. And Lord, we bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise. Oh, that men would praise and bless the Lord for all of his wonderful works to the children of men. Father, we praise you for our redemption. We glorify you for our deliverance. We're redeemed. And now we're armed with the right mentality. We're not captive to wrong thinking. And Father, we give you praise. All the glory in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, before we dismiss. Have you entered into this life with Jesus? Have you entered into the remission of sins and forgiveness? Have you entered into this great, great life? It doesn't mean that everything becomes a bed of roses overnight. There's faithful people here. You've been faithfully serving God. And as you grow, you understand that there's challenges and there's new challenges. We're not trying to paint some false picture here. But I'll tell you what, bringing and asking Christ into your life, it's the first thing that you do to enter into this life of faith. To know that you're delivered. To know that you're born again. To know that you have access to God. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not asking you to perform a ritual. I'm not asking you to light some candle or have some water sprinkled on you or anything like that. I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus. 10 years ago, I did. Best decision I ever made. I had a good upbringing. I had good influences in my life, but I still was making a lot of bad choices. I made a lot of bad choices in terms of substances I brought into my body, a lot of bad choices in what I did, a lot of bad choices in what I would say. Did a lot of rotten, awful things. Hurt a lot of people. And then at 23 years of age, I got serious with God. I asked Jesus into my heart and into my life. He came in. And then I got into a good Bible teaching church like this one. Started learning my redemption rights. Started learning what faith sounds like. Started learning how to live this life. And now I can stand here today and tell you that these last 10 years have been the happiest 10 years of my life. Every year has gotten better. Trials have come and trials have gone, and I still love God more and more every day. And you can have that same testimony, but you have to be sincere and you have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here today and you know that I'm talking about you and you want to make that decision, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front and talk to the church or anything like that. But if you're here and you know you'd like to make a decision to ask Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I will then lead this entire congregation in a prayer. You can pray right along with us. Right there in your seat, make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, I want to see you make a step towards God. I want to see you lift that hand and say, yes, that's me. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Typically, every week we have people that respond. This room is filled with people that have made this decision. No one's going to ridicule you. We're going to rejoice with you. These are the most important words that you'll ever hear in your life. There is a real hell. People don't go there because they've done too many bad things. They go there because they don't accept Jesus. The good news is there is a heaven. Heaven is made for you. Hell wasn't made for you. Heaven was made for you. Is there anyone here today that you know you need Jesus in your life? Just go ahead and lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody? I see a hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? Let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this with all your heart. Maybe you're here today and you're listening. Maybe by live stream. There's folks watching by internet today. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to listen to these words. You need to talk to God this way. Let's all pray this. Say, Heavenly Father,
I believe
that Jesus Christ,
is Lord.
I believe that He raised from the dead
so
that I could be saved.
Lord
Jesus,
I believe
you are the Son of God.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Forgive
me of my sin.
Be
my Lord and Savior
all
the days of my life.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen
and amen. Hallelujah.